irregular expenditure and unauthorized expenditure. Hence, the department has to engage the entities as well as our creditors to enter into repayment plans. So this is being monitored regularly. As we have an under expenditure, the process is followed in consultation with National Treasury to reprioritize the funds towards these accruals and commitments. The contingent liabilities, those are decreasing. I will move over irregular expenditure, chapter 10. These are a recurrent contract. The areas are stabilized. However, it's still a concern that the condonation has to be concluded for this contract. On slide number 52, the same information reflecting on the water trading entity. This is where the overdraft has been a major concern in the previous years, and here the department as well made a progress. We are now complying. There are no incidents of overdraft. The balance is there. Trade receivable is reflected as red. It relates to money owed for the water sales, and there are various interventions, including interministerial support systems, to ensure that the water boards and municipalities assist with the recovery. Financially, liabilities to TCTA is the green. We are paying TCTA. There is a progress there. The loans are reducing in line with the recoveries that are being made. Payables from exchange transactions, that 10% links to the funds that has to be paid over to TCTA. At the end of December, the timing difference that these payments could only interface in January. However, I'm confident that as we approach year end, these payables will also have reduced with, since made the payment in the month of January to reduce those. Commitments as well, those ones will always have an increase or decrease as we add new commitments. Is at the MBAP, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The increase that we are having there relates mainly to the construction unit activities during lockdown, where we had to incur fixed costs, and then those had to be reported accordingly in line with the framework. Those costs that could not be recovered during a lockdown contributed to that increase, hence it is still a red area. However, measures are in place to ensure that there isn't an abnormal increase in this area. Irregular expenditure as well, 10% compared to the previous financial year, there is the efforts to ensure that these figures do not increase except for those contracts that are recurring and condonation is in progress. The last part of the presentation on the next slide relates to the condonation of the irregular expenditure. Slide number 53 from Diani project to slide number 54 reflects the various projects totaling 9.7 billion, 6.3 on the vote, the main account, and 3.3 on the water trading entity. The department engaged National Treasury for condonation of these figures after we have started with the disciplinary proceedings. We reported to National Treasury measures that have been taken, where we have reported to the police case numbers as well as the court processes. Feedback obtained from National Treasury was that they have acknowledged the request for condonation. However, the department needs to proceed to bring to finality all these matters and then come back to National Treasury for reconsideration of condonment of the 9.7 billion worth of irregular expenditure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The other presentation. The other presentation will be done by Mr. Mtembu. I suppose the next presentation is on the city of Tshwane, the Rival and the Hammers Crash. Mr. Mtembu? Mr. Mtembu, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm there.
Okay, all right. Over to you.
All right. On the tunnel, if the presentation... Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. If I could pass this slide and go to the second slide, Chairperson, all protocol of this. We wanted to brief the portfolio committee on the status in terms of the what happened from the last time that the portfolio committee did come and visit the Tshwane plan, particularly the Rooivaar. If you go to the next slide. On the last time that portfolio committee visited, we actually have moved relatively on a number of activities there. What I wanted to highlight is some of the issues that actually happened when we're engaging continuously with the city, particularly around the budget, that as much as we wanted the Rooivaar to be sorted, there was an issue about the outcry on the budget side, that there was not sufficient budget that was for the plan. However, we did note, and as we discussed with the municipality, that there is USDG grant that is available to the city and has always not been fully spent over the years. Hence, we wanted to target the USDG grant for the plants and so on. So there's 15 wastewater plants, which are all non-complying. There are four that are minimally complying, but the rest are not. And the situation is actually dire. One of the key things is that the personnel, manning the wastewater plants, particularly Rooivaar as well, has not been increased from the last time that the members were there, as well as the security element has not actually been picked up from the last time we were there. We did make an offer as a department that we do have implementing agents, the likes of Rand Water and Mahalis Water, which we have engaged with them and made them available to the city to assist them to do the upgrade work and the refurbishment work that is needed. Mahalis Water used to run the timber plant for some time and very well, and the water, there were no major issues on the water side. However, that has been, Mahalis was then let go, and the city took the responsibility to itself.
Sometimes we have lost you. Sometimes. Chairperson, I'm calling him on the phone to alert him to that.
If we're struggling, Deborah, why don't
we have lost you? That's complicated.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you, Mr. Mtembu.
Ramukho, Mr. Mtembu, start us in.
Yes, Chair. Oh, okay. Am I back now?
We are back. And to Salema family in Kuba.
Yes, I'm in the office. The network keeps on playing games. I'm side number five. The issue that I wanted to raise is around stability at the leadership level. We have experienced a lot of changes over the recent past, and this affects the work that we do. We had actually moved a mile to actually get us to meeting with DPSA to try and raise some funding for the 15 wastewater plants in Tshwane. using the USDG, but each time there's a change of leadership, we have to restart that process. That has then affected how we do our work. There is a chair, the we wanted to take that action plan to conclusion with the city so that it's implemented. We then issued a directive to the city to enforce the non-compliance, to make sure that the city is complying, and also to draw up an action plan with the city. And the element that was raised was the lack of funding. If you move to the next slide. The issue that I chair, we wanted to just demonstrate to the members that to the committee that we are intensifying our work with Swale, on daily basis, and this is some of the audit findings that we still having on the ground in terms of the non-compliance. If you go to the next slide. The issue of the we from the last time the members visited the plant Rooival, you saw there was a lot of activities that were happening around the some of the upgrade work. To date, the excavations have been completed. The additional PST primary cycling tank is 70% complete. The bell pressers are complete. The dredging of the maturing pond is also complete, which is a very important dam towards the final stage of releasing the water to up this river. The chlorine, remember the members were quite worried about chlorine. We've been monitoring that to make sure that the plant remains compliant. Also some of the other works that has been completed within there. If you go to the next slide, slide number 8. These are some of the findings as we do the audit and inspections of the timber plant. We're still very much on the same status as we were last time. Nothing really has actually changed there, Chair. So we did present this to you the last time. If you go to slide number 9, we wanted to demonstrate in slide number 9 the process that we go through when we were the protocol basically on regulation. We do an audit, we write a report with recommendations, we present the report to the city, we then do recommendations in terms of what the city needs to do, basically an action plan. We then draft a notice, and then if the notice is not responded to, we draft a directive. After the directive, that's when then we go for the court process. Chair, we have come a long way with the Rooival, and nothing has actually happened. To date, we have had over 3 action plans and amended action plans, but none of them get implemented. So it was an opportune time, although members were not particularly happy with the court process because it delays things. And it sort of symbolizes failure of IGR. Now, there's still a responsibility placed on the department to ensure that we comply, a regulatory responsibility. Although we are supporting, we're also a regulator. So we had to ensure that we do get a definitive decision from the highest body that what we do is not necessarily null and void. The coming up with the action plans of what needs to be sorted out is not necessarily null and void. We proceeded, Chair, and went to court to try and enforce the city to rectify Rooival. For example, we have been screaming at the top of our lungs on getting the city to reprioritize the USDG, but that has not happened, and yet the money gets sent back at the end of their financial year. And now it shows the lack of commitment at some level, that if other projects are not moving, why can't the money be placed where there's a demand particularly on the refurbishment of Rooiwa. So the case was set for yesterday, Chair, with the court, and the unfortunately the city was not ready, and they requested the postponement, which was granted to the 26th of April. Basically, nothing much, Chair, except that we want to demand that the city adhere to the action plan that they have agreed to, and actually put some necessary resources towards sorting out Rooiwa. The amount that has been put there for now is very minimal, is very small, Chair, for the challenge of a wastewater plant that is taking care of the entire city. Subsequently, Chair, if you go to the next slide, subsequently, the community of Tswane raised the matter of the rivers and the Rooiwa to be dirty. They raised the matter with the Human Rights Commission, and the commission had a hearing on the 26th of February. Particularly, they were looking at the three major rivers in the city, Apis, Pinar, and they are extremely dirty, and most of the pollutants there have been identified to be coming from wastewater, poor management of wastewater. The committee reported the matter, and the hearing was held. If you go to the next slide, the committee raised a number of issues, partially treated effluent from a number of plants, as I've mentioned earlier on. There are 15 wastewater plants in Tswane. Most of them are non-compliant. We do need to start somewhere and do something, especially when there is avenue for grant funding that could be used to get more funding to sort out the wastewater plant. We just need traction to make sure that it does happen. We bring the matter to fruition. The DM and the team from DWS have been frequenting Tswane for a very long time to getting these plans in place, getting to ensure that there is some traction with DPSA, with the co-funding, with the use of the SDG, but that has not necessarily yielded any results to date because of some of the challenges the city is facing. The Human Rights Commission raised a number of issues, and certainly not happy with the department that we are not doing enough. We're not pushing to ensure that we either get the court case through or do what they've just recommended in the other part of county and actually take over the running of water services in the city to ensure that we sort it out. Because there is some funding. We can use some leverage funding, package funding solution, but it's just that they particularly might not necessarily be will from the city side. So they are quite heavy on the department that we should exercise Section 63 of the Water Services Act and take over the function. They've committed that they will be joining the department in the court matter. They will apply for a joinder so that they can try and put pressure on the city to comply with the recommendations that the city has also agreed to. On the way forward, Chair, we'll continue with our compliance and enforcement activity. We do have to put pressure on the city to sort out Rooiwa, because the people of Amaskra still don't have water from their taps. They still have quite not clean water out of their taps due to the Rooiwa not being fully functional. And the water is still being tankered. A very expensive solution, and not everybody gets the water at the times that they should be getting water, and it's a problem that is ongoing, Chair. Unless Rooiwa is sorted, Lukral Dam is sorted, the Apis River is sorted in terms of the silt that is there, so that the people of Temba and then get clean water coming out of the treatment plant. The treatment plant itself, the water plant, is quite okay. We're happy with, but it's treating heavily polluted water, and as a result, it becomes a problem that the nitrates and the phosphates still comes out at the end, even after you're pouring as much chlorine as you can, you need a chemical treatment that will remove the phosphates and the nitrates in the water. The issue of operations and maintenance remains a constant problem because of the lack of funding and the lack of manpower. The basic issues of security. When we were there, members were told that the Tshwane Metro would be policing the plants, but if you go there unannounced, you will then see that there is actually no security being provided. Something changed after the members left. The process controllers remained also not being appointed, although we were told the last time that the adverts were out, people were going to be interviewed. It's over a year now, nothing has happened. So, Chair, we're not necessarily happy with that because we need manpower, people who are going to run the plant and make sure that the plant yields the desired result. I'll stop there for now, Chair. Thank you very much, TG.
Thank you, Mr. Kiani. Chairperson and honorable members, the Giani project will be presented by Mr. Leonardo Manas. Mr. Manas, over to you.
Thank you very much, honorable chairperson, honorable members, and Deputy Minister, greeting you all. In terms of the Giani water intervention project, I'm just going to do quickly going through an update in terms of the progress that we have with the intervention in that area. In terms of the next slide, you will see that we just give you an overview in terms of the purpose of this, but on the picture you can see an aerial pic of the Giani water treatment works. On your bottom right-hand side, you will see the treatment works as it is, and then the top right-hand side with the building and the settling tank that we have there, that would be the new component that is not functioning. And it wasn't functioning during your visitation. It's still not functioning, but we had the MMC on site with us from the Mopani District Municipality that gave a commitment that attention is now being given to that component. The next slide would be that we just give an understanding that the project is, have got two major components. So one would be the Nandoni Nsami Bog pipeline. And this is a 49-kilometer pipeline from Nandoni to Giani. And then there's also a branch of 26 kilometers that goes to Malambulele, which is also serving other communities in that side. And then we also have, obviously, the auxiliary components, such as the chambers, the roads and the stream crossings that also need to be done. An important component of that would be that Nandoni is lower than Giani, which means that a pump station is required to also then feed the pipeline from the Nandoni side. Then also the second component of the project would be that inside Giani is a water supply upgrade project that is happening there, and this would be 9 pipelines of a total of 325 kilometers of pipeline, and also with the associated infrastructure that goes with that. The next slide gives you insight into the project management arrangements, the institutional arrangements. We still have Lapela Water as an implementing agent. However, the professional services provider was changed. And the contract with the previous service provider was set aside, and we are now a new engineering company that was appointed, very competent, and assisting us with the due diligence on the project to understand what is the actual progress that we have on the ground done by the previous service provider, and what is required and outstanding work, because we need to make sure that once we say that this intervention is completed, that there's a real impact and that we don't have comebacks, and that is what they're assisting us on. And in addition, as per the project implementation, the supervisory services from the engineers also they will receive. The contractor arrangements, the department construction unit, construction board, is appointed in the Giani area as a contractor now, and we will still have the original contractor on the Nandoni Sami Farm plant then to complete the work in that site. The next slide is a project progress in terms of where we stand. We have found that the previous PSP did not provide packages of the designs that was left was done before. So the department together with the Lepeles, the Department of Engineering Services together with the new PSP has been working on the design for the pump station, and that is progressing at this point in time. However, as far as the pipelines are concerned, there was a problem for the contractor to get access to the land required for the pipeline to proceed. This I will discuss in the later slide. And then also the chambers, a total of 180 chambers are required along this pipeline. So that is also receiving attention now. Unfortunately, the contractor couldn't spend much time over the past summer period because of the significant rainfall that first came with the La Nina effect, and then afterwards also with the Eloise cyclone. So they are well behind as far as this project is concerned in the component of the chambers. If we go to the next slide, then it should be noted that these are some of the challenges, the major challenges that we have faced. And also I'm trying to give an insight into the remedies that we have actually put into place. The first one would be that a decision was taken to introduce a new material of pipe on the Nandoni Town pipeline, which is the glass fiber reinforced pipe. And there was skepticism from the engineers as far as the suitability of this material is concerned. And the new engineer was required to actually do hydraulic analysis. These results were tabled to us on the 26th of February, and we then agreed that this will sustain the pressure on the pumping conditions on the gradients that was then taken as what it would be done, would have to withstand during operation. We then also had large sections of the design that were not in place, and such as the road crossings and the pump stations, as well as the application for way leaves from the Roads Agency of Limpopo. This is now underway. And then also the access of the traditional to the traditional land, due to the fact that the traditional authority felt that there's certain elements of their request that first had to be addressed, and the minister as well as deputy minister intervened with the traditional authority on the four aspects that was that were put on the table. And the first one would be that the department had to assist and deliver on the access road to the community around the Nandoni Dam that was actually then lost due to the embankment, and the previous access road and bridge was not found to be suitable. The department is addressing this matter now. The construction unit is on site addressing this. The people that were affected by the embankment, that they had to be reimbursed or recompensated rather, found that the previous compensation was not adequate. So that is underway, and we have actually achieved 60% of that of the affected communities were compensated to date. The outstanding matter would also then be that there's a portion of the traditional land that is now falling within the flood line of the impoundment area, and that the department needs to manage as per the requirements as well. So this 27 hectares has now been subjected to scrutiny by the Valuer General to determine what the compensation value would be. So that is also receiving attention. And then the Water Service Authority, which would be the Vembe District Municipality, is also addressing the issue of people not having water services in the area or adequate water services. So that's also receiving attention, which we then are confident that we are making inroads into this challenge as well. The next slide will then give an understanding in terms of the finances on the bulk line from Nandoni to Nsami area, that we've spent to date 622 million on this project, and a further 500, it's estimated that a further 505 million is required to do the remaining work as discussed in the previous slides. The next slide gives you an understanding how in terms of the water supply intervention within the Giani area. I do apologize, I see that we have not pulled over the markings of the pipes, but if there's a slide that I've discussed the issue of of the Primeview area where the Resinga View area, which is now also made a claim on the water, get water from the Ndoni Sawme pipeline. But the F pipeline, and I see Kabawa already got the cursor there, that would be the F pipeline where the cursor is, which is in the northern part. We are applying pressure to have that pipeline completed first, because that would be where the community should get the water from, and not from the Ndoni Sawme pipeline itself, because that would be mess up the, or actually compromise the hydraulics of the design. Hence, that would be the portion that will be receiving attention to be completed first. On the next pipeline, we will then, the next slide, we will then see the status as per the completion of the previous contractor. And the fourth column, you get, the honorable members will note that there's been significant progress made with the laying of pipes to the effect where it can be reported as 92%, which is good in terms of the pipes that would be laid down. However, it doesn't mean that it's quite close to, we can say that it's completed, because on the commissioning side, as we have it, we'll see that only 14% of the work has been commissioned. But what is most important for the department to work on now that we've given instruction to our contractor and the engineer would be the pressure testing part. So the this will be determined whether we can actually, with high levels of credibility, take the 99% completion on the various, or the 92% completion on the pipe laying, because that will determine whether the work has been done up to standard. So the construction unit is currently filling the pipes with water and addressing the shortcomings where there's found to be some shortcomings as far as connections are concerned or pipe sections are concerned. So that will be difficult for them to claim progress at this point in time, but we know that that type of work is actually very much important to ensure that we get to the point where everything is functional. The next slide will give an understanding in terms of the current contractor, which is our own construction unit. They've progressed to an extent of about a third of the way of the work that has to be done, of the of what they've been given as far as the current scope is concerned. There's also need to be understood that the construction sector in its entirety, including the department, has suffered greatly as far as the COVID pandemic is concerned, not only during the lockdown when no construction work was allowed, but also subsequent to the lifting of certain levels where construction is now continuing. However, efficiency is being affected when people on key positions of the value chain is then required to isolate, and then causing quite a slowdown as far as progress is concerned. We are trying to work around that, trying to be accommodative and trying to work around recovery in terms to see how we can actually improve in those levels of efficiency working in this new normal. However, in terms of the time frames that, the honorable members and honorable chair will see in the final column, that would be the ultimate time in terms of the end of itself. But what the department is striving towards, that we agreed upon with the engineer and the contractor when we met on the 26th of February, was to say that we require stage commissioning to be implemented, which means that should a section then be completed, pressure tested and work properly, that it should then be commissioned to allow those who are then in that portion of the part that they can receive water whilst we continue going forward. The finances on the next slide then speaks in terms of what has been spent before and what is the current shortcoming, or not shortcoming, but what is still required as far as the completion is concerned. To date, the previous contractor received 3.55 billion of the cost that was allocated to them for work done. And then 550 million is required to complete the work under our regional scope. So this will be in terms of the scope that was finalized with the IA eventually. So, but there are certain elements that we still need to work on. So on the next slide, Honorable Chair, you will note that the fact is that, if I may just go to the last bullet before I go to the first bullet, continuing with the Water Service Authority, Mopane District Municipality, causes scheme functionality gaps that might still exist in the villages, and that would be in terms of addressing the certain taps that might not be connected to a reticulation system. Mopane District Municipality, as I said, at the MMC, was with us in this site meeting as well, and they are taking that also quite seriously in terms of what needs to be done. Another discussion that we took with the MMC would have been on the work that we require the PSP to complete by the 31st of March, and that would be the due diligence to which they commenced on the 23rd of November last year. And this would be to also include very important information that we require out of this report to inform the decision whether we pump raw water or purified water from Nandoni to Giani area. And that would also require a key element out of that would be that the Giani water treatment work should be operating at capacity. And that is what we have been informed by the Mopane District Municipality, that the technical report is being finalized, informed the council on this way forward, and that will also assist the department in making the final decision with that regard. The construction will continue filling the constructed pipes so that we can then also do the stage commissioning as previously discussed. Honorable Chair, I thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manasi. Graham, do you want to talk about the Val and Polokwane?
Well, Honorable Chair, on the Val, I'm not sure whether Mthembu has made that a slide for you. But we can be only in a position to give some progress report because even now, the intergovernmental meeting is proceeding between Gauteng and ourselves about the intervention that the minister would want to proceed with. But there's been some work, Your Excellencies, as you know, we've been giving. And I'll quickly ask that we can just give that small synopsis, but we'll want to come back after the minister has concluded certain discussion and decisions about how to move forward, because we know to the committee and the community of the Val, it's an area of concern that needed to be fixed. But through Deborah, they can quickly share with that one and some what are we also trying to do. Probably Leonardo, just also briefly, because remember Polokwane, the challenges we face, if we can be able to respond with some of those brief notes, what are we doing? Because these are the areas the leadership has gone to, and are the areas that we need to be consistent in dealing with them. Thank you.
Chair, thank you, DM. Chair, on the Val, I think what we can say is that, as DM has already indicated, that there is a meeting to take place, or that is taking place between the Gauteng and us, and there's a ministerial intervention on the matter. So, and that the matter is also to reach cabinet. I think Minister has indicated that we shouldn't talk too much about, Let me say that the Minister requested that for the Val, we can request the committee that we come back after the political intervention has taken place between the department, the municipality, and the province, and some cabinet processes have yielded results. So I think, GM, I think we can leave it here, if you so agree, Chairperson and honorable members.
Polokwane.
Mr. Mela, is there something that you can report on there, Polokwane?
Yes, thank you. Honorable Chair, I think that we will report next time on the we'll provide a report to the portfolio committee as far as the Olifantsport Polokwane project is concerned, because we know that our implementing agent, that's not our implementing agent, one of the infrastructure that's regarded to be in the Pele water, that they've been searching for financial assistance through National Treasury with that project, and we will get an update from them in that regard. What we can report though would be that in the wastewater treatment works that the honorable members also visited during their time in Polokwane, that the construction work is continuing there. Certain of the components of the excavations have been completed. The bulk line in terms of outfall sewer to actually carry the wastewater to the wastewater treatment works, that portions of that have also been completed, but we will provide a written report to the portfolio committee in terms of the progress that has been made on those two projects that you visited during your time on site there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DM, DG and the team. Honorable members, I'm now going to allow members to interact with the presentation. Can I see your hands, honorable members? For now, I see only three hands. Honorable Mokotu, Honorable Mosala, Honorable Grace Tseke, Honorable Leon, Honorable Sifai. Let's proceed with that.
Can I start now, Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mokotu.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is directed to the department, and then I only have two questions to ask. The first one is, could the department provide an overview of the number of targets that will be affected in its revision of the annual performance plan to Parliament? And then again, another question is, what percentage or numbers of infrastructure projects undertaken by Water Services Infrastructure Grant and Regional Bus Infrastructure will be affected, which are budgeted for as per the current annual performance plan and would be revised in the new annual performance plan? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokotu, Honorable Mosala.
Thanks so much, Chair. My question is, the Portfolio Committee in its previous engagement with the department requested the internal audit analysis of the departmental quarterly report, which relates to the risk and mitigating strategies required by the department to improve its work. Could this become a standard practice when the department presents its quarterly reports? That is to add internal audit reports of departmental quarterly reports. Could the department provide this in writing to the portfolio committee? The other question is, the portfolio committee is not doing justice to its oversight mandate, as the committee never ever calls the entities supporting the work of the department to brief them on its quarterly expenditure and performance targets. The portfolio committee only hears the departmental briefings on this important component of its work, yet it is the entities that provide the important foundation of the work of the department. Chairperson, we really need to engage on this matter urgently and find a better way of managing this process. Chairperson, on page 32 of the presentation, it is noted that transfers and subsidies reflected on the cumulative third quarter. This is a combination of the second and the third quarter. An amount of 899 million was withheld of the conditional grants to municipalities. Could a breakdown be given to the municipalities implicated and amounts not of the municipalities implicated and amounts not transferred to each of these municipalities? Chairperson, with regards to the RB spend on second and third quarter report on page 44, as well on page 38 and 39, the RBIC 5B and the RBIC 6B grants to be spent by provinces in both quarters shows that the worst performing province is the Eastern Cape. What are the reasons for the inability of the Eastern Cape to spend these grants? The other question, Chairperson, is with regards to the financial highlights on main account and water trading entity. On page 50, condonations were requested from National Treasury on irregular expenditure incurred on running contracts. What is the amount of this irregular expenditure? And has the National Treasury responded to this request? On page 51, irregular expenditure is reflected in amount of 9.6 billion. Is this correct? On page 52, the water trading entity appears to be in crisis once again. Could more details or clarity be provided on trade receivable, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and irregular expenditure? Where is the information on the breakdown of amounts owed on overdrafts, amounts paid thus far, and the balance of amounts? When will this be resolved? Chairperson, another question is with regards to on contingent asset. The presenter talked on litigations associated with this. Could the presenter provide examples of what this entails? And with that, could we have in writing the list of the litigations? Chair, once more, it is with regards to the issue of, water something in Limpopo. I'm checking with regards to the Nandoni Dam. The community of Nandoni, the beneficiaries, the 1,401 beneficiaries, from Zembe District Municipality, we have seen an outcry that they did not get their benefits. Instead, they got 6,000, some of them, of the land that they used to crop on it. So we want to see, because recently we saw the department saying that by the end of the financial year, of the end of March, everything will be sorted. So I want to check how far are they with that process. Lastly, Chair, I think it was on slide 18 of the presentation. The slide talks about 80 emergency projects of COVID-19. And according to the presentation, only 36 was achieved. So we want to know what kinds of, what are those COVID-19 intervention projects which the department failed.
It's 11 hours.
Failed to achieve, because we understand that the COVID-19 projects were emergency projects. They were planned because we see the necessity to implement them. So what caused the department to fail to implement some of these projects? Out of 80, they only managed to implement 36. The other thing, Chairperson, the tank carrying water services cannot be a permanent solution of managing the distribution of water to the community. We know that it's costly and it's sometimes even not sustainable. Recently, I received a call from the community of Dr. J.S. Moroka. There are water tanks there, but there's no water in those tanks. And it's been for a long time being like that. So we know it's not sustainable, and sometimes it's even costly. So for how long are we going to be depending on water tankering processes? And what is the department's plan to ensure that we get a sustainable water service provision to the people of South Africa? What is their plan? Because we cannot depend on this one of water tankering. It's very expensive and it is unsustainable as well. Our people are still suffering. They don't have water, but tankers are there. The problem is they don't have water in this tank. Thank you.
Chair, just a question. I see that Member Mshala is wearing an EFF regalia. Can it be confirmed, Chair? I'm just checking.
Okay, honorable members are not allowed to wear the party regalia, honorable Mshala, if you have, please remove it. This is an extension of Parliament.
No, Chairperson, I am not wearing any regalia of the EFF. I think Comrade Segi is old. They must stay home now. It's very old.
I'm also
not wearing any regalia, Chairperson. It's just red and black. So, and
no,
I don't know why he's saying like that. No. It's old. He must go home and allow youngsters come to
Honorable Jake, Honorable Mashala is not wearing the EFF regalia. Let's proceed.
Honorable Chair, they can lower their hands through you when they are done.
Okay, yeah. Honorable members, can we lower our hands? Can we have Honorable is it Honorable Sake?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the presentation by the Department for Transplantation and the progress report on Kiani and Ray Valtrail. And just to comment on Ray Valtrail, Chair, for the fact that your city of Cape Town, your city of Tshwane has agreed on the implementation of the action plan, Chairperson. I think we have to support the PWS, the department, for taking them to court for not implementing it, Chairperson. Understanding that this is not a very good way of dealing with some issues that are affecting our communities, but as you're speaking, I don't think we do have a choice, Chair, because the communities around Tshwane, Johannesburg, they've been complaining a lot with regard to accessibility of clean and drinkable water, Chairperson. So we'll wait for the outcome of the court, Chair, but we're hoping that the courts will run in our favor, Chair, of making sure that we provide better services to our people. And on the Kiani, Chair, when we visited Kiani, when we met the municipality of Mopani and Lepele and the department, there were some differences with regard to, or arguments with regard to, the boreholes that were drilled or that were functioning at that time between Lepele and the municipality, Chairperson. I'm not quite sure because majority of the communities around Kiani are depending on the boreholes. I'm not quite sure whether that matter has been resolved, Chair, because we remember that the municipality was upfront to saying Lepelle is claiming to have drilled more boreholes, and Lepelle was also arguing on the other side. Chair, I'm not quite sure whether this matter has been resolved, whether the boreholes are functioning, can keep communities in those areas accessing water from those boreholes. And through the department chair, the department has deviated from the original proposal of a female composite water and sanitation bill. And just to check, what are the implications of this process with respect to the budget and the time frame? And my other question, Chair, I think I will need the DM to respond on this matter. I think as the portfolio committee, you're also worried about the stability or the vacancy rate within your department, more especially to the CFO and the DG. I think the officials have been acting in those positions for quite some time now, and I think we'd want the confirmation or the commitment from your good selves to say, when do we think that this post or this vacancy will be filled. Check. And on the Hazelmere dam, the first quarter indicates, and even now indicates, that the project was halted because they wanted to address the contractual dispute. Chair, I just want to get the progress with regard to this project, Chair. And my last part one, on the budget eradication program, I see it's budgeted within the DWS as much as you informed us at a certain point that the matter has been referred to the human, what is that, your SDA, the Housing Development Agency, to be processed there, Chair. But I think at a certain point we need a progress report from the Water and Sanitation Department, because the project is budgeted within the DWS project, Chair. So, or the department must try to get information from STA on how far are they, because budget eradication project is one of their targets in the DWS. My last point, Chair, is on the consequence management. I see that the progress is very slow, Chair, and I think that maybe at the last quarter we have to find a solution, so we have to get progress to put on how far are they with regard to the consequence management regarding people who have been disciplined in the department. Or the last matter, Chair, with regard to the Giani Water Service Project, the department indicates that the disciplinary hearing has been concluded, and it says that the department took a decision to take the matter on review. I just want to get what prompted them to review that matter. What are the reasons for them to review those decisions, because the hearing was concluded and finalized? That's Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Leon.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, one of our colleagues already asked a question on the condemnation of the irregular expenditure of the 9.7 billion. I also need more information on that. That's now on page 54 of that report. Chairperson, if we then go to the Rooibal issue, I think we must look at Rooibal in the context where it comes from. This problem started in 2012. As we all know, that Arvat, when we were there, we were informed beginning of last year that Arvat was appointed to assist in that. And I welcome the report and the progress. Although it's slow, I welcome the progress of what's been done at Rooibal. But the mere fact is, Chairperson, and it was mentioned, it's a problem with administration. We must realize that the MEC for local government has dissolved that metro in March last year. So when in March last year, when the council was resolved, Tshwane had a surplus budget of on the budget of 284 million rand, and when they took back the administration in November 2020, there was a deficit of 4.4 billion rand. Now, you know, that is when the administrator was appointed, and I think their chairperson, taking them to court now, I think if I was Tshwane, I would also then include the government, Gauteng government, because they are responsible for what's happening there with the finances, because they are finance stricken at the moment. If you look at the cash that Tshwane has, they had 2.5 billion rand in cash and cash investments, instruments, in March of last year. And in November, when they took back the administration, there was only 840 million rand left. So that municipality has been looted, or that metro has been looted in the period when there was a court case on, when they were under administration. And now it's a fight back to get back to where they should be. So I think the department needs to take that into cognizance as well. And I'm sure that the court will the court will do that. So Chairperson, I just want us to have a look at it in context. You know what is my stance on the Rooibal. It should never have happened. There must be assistance. I even think that it should have been taken over by the department because it's got this long history since 2012. But where we are at the moment, I think there is progress. You won't change it overnight. But we need to take into cognizance the history and the financial situation that the current administration has been left with. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Leon. Honourable Troy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, leadership. Chair. I think we need to appreciate the process and the progress that the department is doing in terms of the recovery plan. The department did plan very clear within their project implementation processes, but a disaster has arrived, which is a Corona. Now, as you listen to the department, they're trying to patch areas where they believe would take them back to where they were, which we need to appreciate. If you recall when the department presented to us that there were service providers appointed to do some work on infrastructure, and they had to relook on the regulations, and they were stopped. So those processes were very, very sensitive in terms of the project management process. Now the department is trying to deal with those particular issues. We need to appreciate in terms of the presentation that is made to us. And also the issue of the non-performance of provinces and municipalities on the funds transferred to them, a dependable issue, because the department cannot just jump. That's a piece of legislation that forces the department to transfer some money, but the non-performance is huge, which then is counted to the department. I don't know how can we deal with that particular area, because you have transferred money on the basis of the business plan, and province and municipality is not performing, and that is referred back to the national department. The issue of the water tanks, also we should, for now, to say that was an intervention. No one planned the water tanks in the process, and they had to be given to people now, not tomorrow. There were some challenges within that particular process. But I hear that the department is saying they have a sustainable plan to deal with the issue of water tanks. It's important that we get to know that, because on our understanding, it was an emergency intervention. Now, what is sustainability on the water tanks provision? The other issue, Chair, is the issue of the coordination in this whole process. There's got to be tight and be clear in terms of this recovery plan, because COPTA has a role to play in this whole issue. How I wish that we could be presented on how both of them and some other departments are assisting this particular process. The condonation, it's a word that perhaps one would sometimes stretch it off and put outside the window. But it's a procedural process understanding the project implementation processes. But it's a huge amount of money. The process of disciplining and consequence management, as the Honorable Grace has raised, it's very slow. When one has been exposed on injustice that we saw at Guyana, the injustice that we saw there does not cannot be it's a problem for the delay of dealing with the discourse, ma'am. Awuna kwazi nyamezela lando besibone phaya. Oh mama bakhobumene. Sehuka ikilifa. And then where comes the councillor to speak different from what the province is saying? And that process also is getting delayed. It's important that we get to the disciplinary, who has done what, and then how are we dealing that particular individual, so that we are able to account to our people, because this money doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the ratepayers. I think also we need to appreciate the presentation made by Umthembu on the issue of Roy Val. But again, it's proper to say, when you've given USDG's budget, it's not for you to keep it. They've kept that budget, kept that money for 3 consecutive financial years, and they still want, they see money is not enough. What does that mean? For me, it's not only a commitment that is not there. It's the capacity of that municipality to deal with the processes of governance. And it's important that we should be able to get to that leadership that has been elected. They must be able to know that they are not doing justice to the people that they are leading. Thank you for the chlorine that you have intervened into. I hear that it is not yet there. But Baleka team, you need to move very fast. That those programs there are in a disastrous process. We need to have a way to move, because people are suffering. I did not hear about a water that is taken to communities in a tank that is not washed before, and therefore polluted water is taken to people. I think we were presented with that when we were there, if that has been rectified. The last one, Chair, is the issue of laying pipes. I hear that pipes have been laid, a process. It's a progress. It's fine. It is fine. think of your mother who is drinking water that is polluted, your family, your kids, for quite a long time. What does that mean? What does that mean? Please, the municipality that has got the responsibility for recirculation, we need to get a report. What is the problem and why they did not connect a pipe to the major program, and why they are not responsible about that? I hear that the mayor is saying some other stories, and please, DG and DM, these projects are an embarrassment to this government. And any government in any municipality that is not adhering to the democratic processes of this government and our people, not committed, and we need to deal with those individuals. I hear Mthembu seems to be planning for the intervention in Makhaliso water and Rand water in here. Get in, because that is our asset. We pay them. They must get in because people are suffering. One of the issues that we are not yet getting, which we requested, that has there been a health assessment of the people of that surrounding areas in terms of this process? It's important that we get to know. And also the, it must not be a human resource, the research process. It should be ours, because we know if you drink water and if you eat wrong food, you're subjected to huge illnesses. Please, let's get those areas. How far are those? And what is the process? But to say, we appreciate the progress as it is now, but please move fast. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Connie.
Thank you, Chair. I was covered by Honorable Grace, but I think the issue of bucket eradication cannot be overemphasized, because like this, because I see 74% has been delivered, but when are we going to have 100% delivering of eradication of bucket system? We cannot at this time still be talking about the bucket system eradication. Secondly, there's a lot of water which has been polluted. I assume that the polluters are industries, big industries and all that. So I just want to find out from the department, what are they doing about the situation? Because the pollution of water affects, we know who affects the most. It affects the downtrodden of our people in this country. So what is it which is done? And what measures, strict measures, have we made sure that put in place, and to make sure that these industries are paying to clean that water? Thank you, Chairman.
Honorable Tseki. Honorable Tseki.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think I go with all the comrades that have spoken. But I just want to comment, Chairman, on what Honorable Leon have said, that we struggled so much to have resources to see that Tshwane assist, intervene, in the pollution that is taking place at Hammanskraal Scrum. But now we are told about surpluses and looting, whereas that money, if that money was there, why they couldn't intervene in many other projects that they necessitated the intervention of municipality. So I think if Honorable Leon wants to politic, I think we can do that much better than deservicing the community and claiming to be saving billions of rand. So he was out of order, Chair. Thank you.
Chairperson, point of order.
Honorable Leon.
Chairperson, I never mentioned any political party. I was not playing politics. The member must understand that it is the history on this. This comes from 2012, before myself, you and other people were members of parliament. And there must be the assistance from the department. And we welcome what happened in that area, what has been done, how we intervened the department. So you must not come and try and make politics out of this. I am in discussion with the minister also about this, the deputy minister, and the department is in consultation with the administration in Swani. Doesn't matter what political party is running that municipality. It's a problem coming from 2012. I didn't say it was the fault started with the previous administration. I'm just trying to say that it's got a history. We talk about 3-4 billion rand that is needed to fix that problem. You can't take that out of any normal budget to do that. The members should know that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, can I request that we should not want to respond on behalf of the municipalities or departments because we are members of parliament. Can we imagine if we can start I've allowed you to do that deliberately, just to show you. If I then give another person to speak about that, somebody wants to respond on behalf of the department, why do we have this meeting and if members want to become the spokesperson?
Let's avoid that. Even if the question is raised by the member, I don't like it. Allow the department to respond to.
Can hear you, Chairperson.
The truth cannot be hidden. We don't have to respond on behalf of the department or on municipalities, on anybody that was supposed to be an implementing agent. So I think that should be, we should take it into mind when we are in the portfolio committee, because I cannot call members to order that you are not a municipality or you cannot respond on behalf of municipality. Please, let's avoid to do that so that we have a progress in the meeting and allow those that we have invited to answer questions. If they don't have answers, they'll say they don't have answers. Can we agree on that process, members? Without even debating on the matter. Let me add questions, honourable members, just to get the department to respond.
Chairperson.
Yes, honourable Mashala.
Can I please come in 1 second before you come in?
On what, Honorable Mukhal?
I forgot to say something, and
okay.
I think it's important. No, in some of my questions, I've requested written response on my questions. But I see, Chairperson, I'm not going to be assisted with anything. Last time when you were here, you spoke to the acting DG of Water and Sanitation to respond to us on Monday on questions that we asked on that particular day. We have not yet received anything in a form of response. So I don't know, because they are not willing to respond in writing. Can they respond now here? Because they are not willing to assist us when we ask
written questions, because sometimes we do that because we can see that the question is too, when you respond, you're going to be too long. So we need a written response to avoid you delaying because we have time constraints. But if they are failing to do that, let them respond here because we'll never get written responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Musala. They've heard you, and they must start by responding why they've not responded to as we have agreed. You know, it's very disturbing that the officials make commitment to respond to the questions in writing, and they want to be followed up. They want, we come into the meeting, members still raise that they've not received their answers. It's very wrong. And DG, when you're going to respond, you must get the answer why you've not responded as requested in that in the request that honorable members have made. I wanted just to add some few questions on the discussion. One is on to add on members to on the recovery plan, particularly on audit plan. It just says you've implemented partially 25%, partially, and then not others were not responded. And what are those issues that you have not responded, and why have not been achieved? What was the reason? Because the reason itself is not indicated on the presentation, because we agreed that this financial recovery plan and the audit action plan that the department should agree with the Auditor General. We should be briefed on quarterly basis, and in an environment where you have not implemented, you have missed the target, we will need a reason why it was not achieved, because that's one of the issues that we have raised. On the issues of I'm covered with the issue of vacant post as raised by Honorable Zeke on Giani. We're talking about budgets. Can we get the variance of the amount on the Giani? And then two, that on Val, I want to agree that the department should use its available mechanism to make sure that the Roy Val and the Temba plant mechanism that they have in their disposal, whether the court, whether the interaction with the department, with the municipality or whatever, to make sure that there is intervention. For the fact that one has not been finishing its budget on the USDG, when that money is meant to assist the metros to deal with the backlog of infrastructure, and that grant was established for the purpose. So for the fact that money is going back and Tuan is not finishing the budget, we should get worried as members, and we should then support the department to do anything that will make sure that any mechanism that will help to make sure that they force all the municipalities and the polluters of our rivers to make sure that they comply. The last thing is on the water tankering. I think department last time when they were presenting, they said that particularly minister has noted the, and minister of culture, they're very clear in terms of that tankering is not an option because it's open for manipulation. It's got a problem in giving our people clean water too, because there is no one who's monitoring where these people are fetching water and all those things. It might be that they're getting the water from the same sources that has been polluted, and there was a commitment that they'll do away with tankering, which we support, and demand therefore being a plan that in areas where they will remove the tankers, therefore what should happen, and in areas where there is no source, what is going to happen in those areas, because it might take some time, as we see that projects are not moving with the speed that is required. So those are the issues that I wanted to add. Can we get the department to respond?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not sure, Chair, whether should we respond. I see Umam Bana, her head has always been up, but should I proceed with the permission or with your guidance? I'm not trying to chair your meeting, leadership, ma'am.
No. You are right. I didn't see the hands. Honorable Mbana, you can ask your question so that when they respond, they respond to all the questions.
Chairperson, I think you probably covered me in terms of the monies that are going back. And also what I've noticed that other honorable members have covered me in terms of emphasizing the case that they are doing. Because what is critical is for us not to see whatever that we have seen, the time we have seen, the time we visited those projects. I'm partly covered, say I'm not going to waste time because I was really raised in the end and I wrote the hand very late. And the other thing now what I want to comment on in the department, honorable members, is that there is a little progress that you see. And we can be able to witness that at least you are able to see the little progress. But it is not enough, Chairperson. We would like to see them on how are they going to do all the plan that they are talking about in place and they need to implement. Thanks, Chairperson, for allowing me whilst I'm late.
Thank you, DM and your team.
So thank you very much, Your Excellency Chair, and thank you very much, honorable members. The DG and the team will answer some of the issues, but I'll hand you some of them. Just to say, Chair, firstly to thank you that you have allowed us with your committee that we come and account, because accounting is one of the important tenets of our constitutional democracy. On the third quarter, from the second quarter and the third quarter, but also just to allow us the opportunity to respond to some of the issues yourselves. We had an opportunity because these are the issues that have gone on the ground with the members of the committee to see for yourselves, and your invaluable opinions and views around some of these issues, how should have been dealt with. Well, on the question of the plans, we came to the committee last year with the acting DG Trevor, and the, before the adjustment. So remember, there was an adjustment process that happened that was necessitated by the advent of the pandemic, which is COVID-19. And also, we're able to indicate to yourselves, honorable members, that our plan had to be adjusted because certain resources had to be actually be reprioritized and redirected to support municipalities on what we call it our secondary function, which is not our primary function, because when His Excellency our President made the determination that the country is going on a lockdown on the basis of advice from medical experts, cabinet and the council, we had to move funds, and the minister then had to establish our command council for water with red water. One of the things that also happened in terms of the monies that were given, and many departments' monies were being taken, and we're very fortunate that the money was actually brought back to us, in as much as we lost some amount because of that adjustment. We had to revise our plans, and we did share that particular information. But if honorable members, they still want us to share that again, because that money we took a principle share that in as much as it might have been taken from municipalities that were not actually performing, but we're not going to be in a position to punish those municipalities because there was work that needed to be done. We even committed that where the technical reports that had to be approved so that we can be able to do some of these things, we did actually do that. But we should be able to give details where honorable members, they need certain details on that one. I thought, Chairperson, on the matter, just from COVID-19, remember we also presented that the immediate plan was to provide water on a short term, and Leonardo will come in again. We had to go to another phase. The other phase, honorable chair, learning from our experiences, we did well, but then there were challenges, remember, with the tankering and the issues where in certain communities we put the static tanks, and the static tanks certain times they will not be filled with water. But some of those corrections were made. But we also know that even now, there are certain communities where the static tanks are there, but water is not available because, Chairperson, you are absolutely correct. The question of the source is important. In the sustainable plan going forward, especially in communities, in rural communities that have no infrastructure at all, even the basic one for RDP standard, the infrastructure access, one of the decisions we took was to support municipalities, and we've agreed with COCTA and South, that when it comes to source, in those communities that have no infrastructure, we'll look at spring protection. And in many communities, Chairperson, that spring protection is being done. We have also made a decision that we'll look at the exploring of groundwater as an alternative source so that those communities, they do have water. That's why most of the projects, honorable members, you are correct. Even honorable Segi, when you were mentioning the issues of Kiani, groundwater has always been available in those communities. Well, in some communities, the groundwater is still of good quality, but in certain communities, because of issues of pit toilets, because of issues of people doing cemeteries and so forth, and including agricultural production and other activities that are happening, pollution is a possibility. While at the very same time, after the source has been sorted out, Your Excellencies, you could see the money that the department has, whether it is the water services infrastructure improvement grant, whether the regional park infrastructure grant, we are trying to sort out the issues of infrastructure. But Leonardo, probably you might want to share some of the aspects of the other sustainable solution beyond the intervention that we did as a temporary measure on COVID-19 using the tankering system and the state dictates in supporting municipalities. Equally, one of the issues that we are correct, our experience, is that in as much as we're trying to solve the problem, the issues of using tankers for the tankering system, we knew that there were problems, and you are correct that a decision has been made that we want to discourage and say no to water tankers that are owned by private individuals. The decision is that water tankers will always be part of the system. They have to be owned by the state. They can only be utilized, a chairperson, by the state in certain instances where they might be infrastructure failure, but they must be owned by the state, by the municipalities, other than by individuals. Because our experience is that when they were owned by individuals, there were issues of conflict of interest, where certain leaders had an ownership of those particular tankers. Then there was also the issue that some officials in certain municipalities, not all municipalities, had an interest on that. Then there was a problem, Chair, of the management question, where sometimes the tanker has to be delivering certain loads to certain communities. In certain areas, there was no management plan to say when is the tanker coming, what street. That information was not communicated, whether communities are at home or not at home. But at the very same time, whether adequate loads were delivered in terms of what was being actually given. Sometimes they would claim more, and instead of actually claiming for the actual kilometers or kiloliters that they would have delivered. But it also meant that there were also problems, Chair, of financial interest, where there were many people that actually started to push that they need to use them. There was also the issue that it promoted vandalism, because when infrastructure was being built or repaired, some people have internal information, Chair, because of commercial interest, they started sharing the information with the tanker owners. They started actually approaching some of our valves, destroying our pipes. There was issues of theft and corruption. And we agree with that particular position. But the most important aspect is that municipalities, the tankers must be part of the assets they own. It can't be in the hands of private individuals because of that particular challenge. On the question of pollution, Your Excellency's chairperson and members, it's an important issue. That South Africa will not run out of water, but South Africa will have water, but the water will not be fit for use. And the impact on water that is polluted in the economy, Your Excellencies, is very high. Because if the water is not going to be fit for use, certain sectors, they will require certain kind of standards, quality standards, for that particular water to be used. It will scare investors. But at the very same time, the cost of treatment will be so exorbitant that someone must be able to use highest technologies to treat that particular water. For an example, the damage that has been caused by one of the backbone sectors of our economy, like mining, the groundwater that has been polluted in the Vaal, in Mpumalanga, in Limpopo, in KwaZulu-Natal, the damage is too much. We have trillions of liters of water that is available, but it's full of heavy metals. That's why there's a program called acid mine drainage. You look at Gauteng. That's because of the design by apartheid and because of their policies and economic growth. There's the benefit of having water coming from all provinces, including from other countries, to come to the Vaal system to drive the economy of Gauteng. And you can check the millions and millions of wastewater that is being produced by Gauteng. And in the main, because some of these metros are unable to manage the water in terms of the license conditions we've given, a poor municipality just here in Northwest called Matibeng, very poor municipality. It has its own problems because of some mismanagement issues. and vocal issues, but they have to bear the brunt of treating the water that is coming from Gauteng that is partially treated. Their infiltration membranes, their system, their reservoirs, they are all in a mess because they are paying for a pollution they have never created. When it comes to issues of law, Your Excellencies, one of the things you fought for, and those of us who joined late because of our age, we fought that everybody will be equal before the law. The issue of pollution as a matter of principle, all polluters, irrespective of who they are, whether industries, whether it is government, the law can't have eyes when we treat them. Inasmuch as there is a requirement in law that we must respect intergovernmental relations, pollution is pollution, and polluters must pay. Unfortunately, the city of Tshwane, Honorable Fatone is correct, the problem predates this administration. But the reality is that they are a successor in law. As a successor in law, they carry that particular responsibility. The same way that the democratic dispensation were to carry the liabilities of an apartheid government in going forward. One of the things that the Human Rights Commission has said very sharply against the department, Chairperson, was that this department is very sweet and nice when it comes to issues of enforcement or compliance with our license condition. We have made that decision. We are actually tightening our strength. If it means polluters are going to go to court, they will go to court. But we will still also do our responsibility to support, because the Constitution has an injunction in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution that we must support. We will do both, Honorable Members. We will support, but when there is a transgression in law, we will not look away. Because if we look away, that drop of water will not be available for the next generation. And then we cannot be in a position to be leaders that will allow our children to pay the premium for our inaction. But when it comes to Tshwane, we are very pleased that progress is being made, but the reality still remains that the people of Themba, Hammanskraal, they still don't have potable water. Water is being provided by cutting, like in other areas of our country, and it's not acceptable. But at least the progress in fixing the plant and fixing those particular issues, Herbert and others working them, we are still working together well with the municipality. But we came to you, we gave a joint plan of action, probably at a particular point like you've done, Honorable Chen. We have to call us with those municipalities, including Tshwane, Bulawayo, and others. We come and account. We are not targeting the municipality of Tshwane because the leadership happens to be coming from a different political party. We are just trying to help the citizens of Tshwane, irrespective who is in charge. That's why even in Mpumalanga, we open up a case in Victor County for the pollution they are causing. And there are many cases we're still going to open. A personal I was involved with the officials responsible, where our own comrade, the executive mayor, a case was opened against him with the municipality. And it's the right thing to do. From a policy point of view, we'll conclude the waste discharge charge system so that there is a premium or a quantum for users that does the pollution so that they must pay. So that the department, when it starts to clean up the mess, like we're cleaning the mess in Val, we never budgeted for that particular pollution in Val. But now the department must be able to foot the bill for pollution, because the law says we must do remedial action if the holder of a license is not doing that, but we must be able to claim the money back. I might have taken long term on that particular matter because it's an important matter, that the law must have no eyes and everybody must be equal before the law, but municipalities and other users have the responsibility to support them, as you expect us to do. Honorable Chair, the matter raised by non-responsiveness by the department, the acting DG will respond to this, but upfront, there is no intention to undermine your excellencies. If there are lapses from our side, we want to profusely apologize, Honorable Mtala and other members, that we might not have came back as the acting DG at the time would have made the particular promise. The other matters, Your Excellency, the detailed one, I will request that Debram, with the team, we should be able to respond to some of those issues which are financial and non-financial issues, including the issues that are raised by other honorable members. If there's something I remember, Chair, I will come back before we hand over back to you. But once again, thank you. Debram, you can assist us.
And don't forget the Nandoni issue, man.
Well, my apology, Your Chair, but the Nandoni matter is being attended to. The team has responded, and our minister and myself have apologized. Those communities of Nandoni, they don't deserve the manner the way they were treated. We're not there, but we actually accept the shortcomings by our government, and we've gone to those communities to try to make good about promises. Where communities, they donated their land. They were able to move using our own laws, and we've paid the majority of them. But then there are still matters that must still be resolved around those particular communities. But the processes are back on track. The work is not complete. There's a deadline, the minister, that we gave. We should be able to try our level best to meet. But then there's also issues about illegal deaths. Honorable Chair, you know well where in certain instances the infrastructure is there and there's been good rain, but people can't receive the water downstream because someone upstream has interfered, and we are trying to improve our capability to monitor. But our commitment, anybody, irrespective of your standing, anybody who steals water or who blocks our systems will demolish all those illegal dams or illegal storage facilities they have made. But at the very same time, we'll take them through the court because they can't use water without an authorization unless it is described in our laws. Because our laws, there is a certain quantum of authorization that is only permissible. But thank you very much around those particular issues. I think the issues around Giani, the boreholes, and the other infrastructure-related issues, Manasseh should be in a position to actually respond to. But on record, we must thank you, Chairperson, for raising the issues of the Nandoni Dam very sharply all the time, including yourselves as members. And to thank the communities there and the leadership, the traditional leaders, that we continue to work with them so well, that we are looking at a strong partnership, because those citizens, they too, they depend on government that has been elected and our traditional leaders, Amakhosi, to assist us. Now that the project, they've allowed the project to proceed because they believe on our goodwill and commitment that we are fixing some of the missteps that we've done. Debra, please come back.
Thank you, DM. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. We will try to respond to all questions. We are intending to reply or respond as honestly as possible with all the information that we have. We will assign questions as per job spec. Mr. Mwate will respond to the finance issues, except I don't want to repeat the questions because there are many, it will take time. I'm just going to cluster them. So Mr. Mwate will respond to all the finance-related questions, those irregular and the condemnation and so forth, except for the one on grants expenditure, especially the question that seeks to understand as to why Eastern Cape has not spent and what is it that we are doing. That will be responded to by Mr. Manas, reason being that those grants, the expenditure of those grants happened in his branch. The COVID two projects as well, Mr. Manas will phase two, COVID phase two projects, Mr. Manas will also explain that. And I think DM also, in a way, has also touched on this question. The COVID intervention projects were just that, intervention. The department was not to occupy that space forever, as we know that it is not necessarily our primary mandate, as DM has indicated. But that we did not want to be responsible, just dump the interventions like that without assisting with anything sustainable. And that is what Mr. Manas will explain to us. Tanking is expensive, but it also does pose health risks, because you cannot, number one is that you cannot keep testing the water quality, and number two, you cannot ensure or assure that that the water quality will always be of the requisite standard as prescribed by our guidelines. So it is very, very important that we really don't rely on that. Apart from all other things that the DM has mentioned, this thing of sustainability, of affordability, because municipalities can't afford, neither can we as a department afford that, but also of paramount to us is the drinking water quality standard of that water. Yes, the BEP, Bucket Eradication Program, through Minister's intervention, it is transferred to DHS, the entity under the Department of DHS. There is a program. I think what we will bring a report next time, honorable members, on the full report on progress. But Mr. Manas can indicate what the current plan indicates as the completion date of that program. On the issue of disciplinary matters, I see that we are requested to present that this Friday, the 12th of March, to the committees. I'm not going to talk much about that, except to say that in relation to the condonations, the National Treasury is very strict. They want us to have finalized the disciplinary process, which I think all of us would know and attest to that it's a difficult thing to do. Not difficult to discipline, but difficult to condone on the basis of that disciplinary process being finalized. Reason being that during the process, the delays can come from the person that is charged, himself or herself. When a person says, and I'm talking about a typical case that we had, where the person will say, I have so many witnesses, and the chairperson cannot say, no, the cutoff is this, because it is not prescribed in law as to how many witnesses you can bring. Secondly, the person might say, I'm sick. And when they bring that doctor's letter, there's nothing that you can do. The next thing is that the lawyer or anybody representing that person, at the time at which this person becomes available from sick leave, they say, no, I had other plans. As a result, I'm unavailable. And that also creates another delay. But there's also another issue that needs to be brought to the fore, is that when it comes to most senior officials in government, I don't know whether this is just the case in our department or in other government departments, but where there's a senior manager, and maybe where there's something about the senior manager, it is not easy to in government to find somebody that will be the case leader. To get a presiding officer, yes, you can, but to get somebody that will lead evidence, it is very, very difficult. And the officials have also, and I'm saying officials carefully because I am an official myself, the person might say, I don't want to use lawyers. There's a section 188 that people will go for, and once they do that, the department is also not allowed to go for lawyers. And that's where then we find ourselves with a difficulty. But perhaps this will soon be something of the past, given the intervention that Minister has brought in. Minister has appointed a team of professionals that will assist us with dealing with SMS cases, senior management cases in the department. There are retired judges, and then there are retired prosecutors that we're also looking at for these cases, so that this can speed up these cases. And it is only at once that process yields results that some of the condonations will be dealt with. I must also indicate that even with the Auditor General, they also, when you deal with a material irregularity, they also insist on seeing who have you pinned down for that material irregularity. If there is no one, they don't accept your response. And if you say it is so and so, and disciplinary action will be taken against this person, they want to see evidence of that process having taking place, or any progress around that or the plans towards that process unfolding. Otherwise, we are stuck with material irregularity. We are also stuck with condonation of such with national treasury. So these are the things that our honourable members need to take note of, so that it is not seen as we are just happy to be reporting on irregular without condoning or without any process in place. Needless to say that not all irregular expenditure is about corruption and whatever, but the process is such that the circumstances are such that those processes take time. They are not necessarily easy to deal with. So that's that about that. And then Mr. Mwata will respond to the finances, and then Mr. Manas will respond to the project issue. And there's, I think, also on the Nandoni, he can add a little bit to what DM has already indicated there about Nandoni, as how far we are. No, the Nandoni, I mean the reimbursement or investment of the people that were moved from that area to give way to the dam. I think that's the three categories of questions that I have here. If there is any one that I would have skipped, it is not out of malice. It will be just that I'm a human being, and so I might have skipped it, and I'm requesting, I'm humbly pleading the honorable members to assist us with just reminding us or repeating the question. Thank you very much. Mr. Frank Mwate, can you please take over the finances, followed by Mr. Manas? And if there is anything that Ms. Babalo Manyakanyaka needs to add on the non-financial performance, she is free to do so, but that will be after Mr. Manas. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. The first question relates to the 9.5 billion of irregular expenditure. The honorable member is correct that the amount is not the total, it is for the main account on slide 51. If you add the water trading entity on slide 52, the separate item as well, the irregular there is 7.8. So in total, the irregular expenditure is 17.361 billion. We had to add both accounts. Trade receivable, yes, that's correct. As indicated with the non-financial report, that the balance that we have reported, the days for recovering this debt are prolonged. There are various reasons, as we've indicated. One of them, of course, is the COVID conditions, and also the previous conditions that prevailed, wherein the department already had various interventions. Among them, as I said, is the inter-ministerial task team, where various parties, the Treasury and the Municipalities Water Board, have come together to put measures. One of them are repayment plans. All the municipalities have put together repayment plans, and we did have some of, or most of them, honoring the payment to the water boards in between the reporting quarter as well as the fourth quarter. So that is true that there are still challenges. However, there are intervention measures to make sure that, because this money, correctly so as a member, it is very important that it is recouped to enable servicing of financing activities, including the GCPA. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure on the main account, it is reflecting a reduction that relates to what DG now spoke to. We had one of the material irregularities that has since been resolved, and a write-off has been processed. Hence, there's a reduction on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the vote to the main account. On the trading entity, the amount that relates to the construction unit during the lockdown as well, we had incidents where costs had to be incurred for your fixed costs, your salaries, as well as the operational costs, which could not be allocated and recovered from the various projects. And the details on those are available. Overdraft balances, I can confirm, honorable members, that the department, both the boat and the trading entity, there are no overdrafts, and the balances are now positive, and that has since been resolved in the 1920 financial year, carrying forward into the new financial year. And this, as a part of the turnaround plans of the department, there is no way that the department will be going back to those issues of financial non-compliance or misconduct with reference to incurring overdraft without the relevant approvals of National Treasury. Litigations and examples that the member requested, the contingent assets relate to those lawsuits where the department expects to receive some compensation. The examples that are included in that reported figure, one, the major one is the Guyani project, which has always been in the annual report of the department. The SIU have filed court papers where there was relief sought. That is also a part of the detailed briefing that DG indicated that they will be briefing on the investigation. So one of the significant balances related to the Guyani project, SIU has filed court papers. The second significant balance relates to payment that was made to a service provider, which also resulted in material irregularity. It is in the annual report of the previous year and also in the current year that they will be tabled soon. So those are the main ones, honorable members. The one where we paid the service provider for financial advisory and support services, and the conclusion was that the payment was an irregular payment, also that it was a material irregularity, hence reported by the AG. So court papers for both of these payments have been lodged, and the one on Kian is the one that I use, the familiar one is the one by the department, and litigation is ongoing. I think I've covered the finance-related questions, and if there's any that is not responded to, I will be able to come back to it. Thank you, DG.
Chairperson, I think I will just take a few questions that's remaining left for me as far as this process is also concerned. In terms of the first question that was posed with regards to the Artbeat projects, in terms of what has been affected, how many have been affected, I will refer the honourable member to slide 17 of the presentation as well, which means that in terms of the mega projects, we are supposed to have one under construction, one had to be completed, both of them were affected due to the scenarios that we had in the construction sector, and the large four projects were affected, and then also in the smaller ones we had six that were affected, four that were not under construction and two that were not completed. So then moving on to the performance, the question with regards to the performance of the Arabic, especially in the Eastern Cape, noting the fact that the majority of our implementing
agents that we're using would be municipalities, water service authorities in that space. We had a few instances where our regional office had to intervene due to contractual disputes between the implementing agent and the contractors that were used in that space. We also have had the phenomena of so-called business fora that is intervening, for lack of a better word, in projects for claims delay as far as the projects are concerned. And this is causing a little bit of havoc as far as progress would be concerned in some of these projects as well. Then the other element would be community unrest, that sometimes our projects, due to the fact that there might be perhaps unrelated service delivery protests for that matter, the visibility of a project on the ground is always a target in terms of to express frustration. And this has been quite also prevalent in the space of the Eastern Cape. If I may go into the situation of the Nandoni compensation, I think that Deputy Minister Mhlobo already gave significant reporting on that one. But what I can just add to is to say that we have made progress thus far. But let me first address the issue in terms of why certain people get 6,000 and others get 2 million. It all depends in terms of the report that we've done. Keep in mind that there was previously compensation paid out to the communities before. It was subsequent to the public protector's report. We appointed a new valuer to assist us with reassessing everything in the area. And with that assessment, the determination was done in terms of the size of the property that a family may have had and the activity that was on that property. So if there were agricultural activity, the crop or the trees would have been then determined in terms of what the compensation would have been. And that formula was consistent across the entire basin of the area of impoundment. And that was the determining factor in terms of what communities had to be paid as compensation. So would it have been that previously a family might have received an amount of money? That would have been taken into account with this new compensation calculation as well. And that determined it to the effect where we currently sit with 95 families that were paid more than what were due to them in the previous round. And so that situation also actually happened. But to date, we've paid about 800 families have received their compensation out of the 1,370 that we need to look at. And only 76 at this point in time is outstanding with everything else in the process. What it means in the process and not paid as yet might be because of IDs that have not, ID documentation that is not comparing well with the previous report, or account numbers of bank accounts that is not being receiving or not correlating in terms of the records that is received. Under the leadership of the Deputy Minister, Help Desk has been put up together with the traditional authority and our officials together from National, together with our Limpopo Regional Office, is working quite closely with the help received from the traditional authority to address those that need to be unblocked as we go further. Deputy Minister also addressed, as well as the Acting DG, addressed the issue of the COVID projects. But just to add in it, that the department have done more than 1,300 scoping exercises across the country in terms of tanks. And what does a scoping exercise entail? We use our own internal graduate trainees, as well as the professional engineers, to actually assist us with that. And that would have actually entailed to actually do an identification of source. Because as correctly have stated, we do not regard it as perhaps sustainable or effective and efficient to actually have a tanker system in place, but that, as it previously said, was a temporary solution. And to find a source is not as easy, but the colleagues have done well. So that source development project is, or source searching project, the scoping project has been completed, after which the design process was also followed to determine the bulk quantities that is required also to do the final procurement. The procurement administration work was also quite challenging, is quite challenging still, but that is to also satisfy certain requirements in that regard, and that is also receiving attention to move as fast as we can towards completion. The boreholes in Giyani, we have tasked the new engineer, together with our own engineering services, to do a full assessment of all the boreholes that we have. When we were on site on the 26th of February, we visited and we've seen bore working, but technically there were significant findings that justified a proper assessment of the information that we might have on the table at present with regards to the functionality and as with regards also to the technology that we have at those boreholes in terms of adequacy, whether it's over or under as far as efficacy is concerned, that is also being taken in consideration. The element in terms of the Hazelmere progress, and yes, we had a great struggle with regards to the contractual dispute we had with the contractor, which was resolved. And at the resolve of that dispute, the PSP, which is a service provider engineer, laid claim on certain elements of oversight, supervision, as well as the legislated requirement of having an approved professional person on site of an asset under construction as far as the dam is concerned to ensure the safety of the dam. And that element then raised more another dispute that had to be resolved, which was also resolved, and a deviation was attained from approval was attained from National Treasury to accommodate this. And we are believing that with the progress made that we can complete the remaining 4% of the work within the next financial year. Honorable Chair, I think that the bucket eradication was answered. The question that was asked with regards to the Giyani budget variance, in terms of the Giyani Water Services intervention component of the 505 million that is at this point required to complete, we have a budget shortfall that we are managing currently through budget maintenance would be 170 million, and we have 103 million shortfall on the Ndoni and Sami pipeline. But we will be able to look at the performance of other projects as well to see how this can be accommodated and also completed within the budget framework that we have, noting the fact that there are projects that have been underspending as well. We will ensure that the message regarding the report that is required from Mopani District Municipality with what they will be, what the plan would be in terms of the system's functionality and in all the valleys or villages, we will be working with them and attain that information as per instructed. And we will also make sure that the heartfelt message with regards to how we need to think of mothers and fathers that need to drink water that's polluted due to the incomplete nature of the project, that is also communicated to all involved as far as the department, the implementing agent and the contractors are concerned. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Leonardo. Honorable members that were informed, I hope all the questions have been responded to.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable GM.
Just a small addition. When Leonardo spoke about the other outstanding community members not being paid, apart from issues of IDs, and sometimes issues of a satisfied working bank. there's an issue, Chair, because the matter has taken time. Other families, members have passed on. Some they might have migrated out of those communities. Then there's an issue. It looks small, but it might be a little bit complicated. The issues of the change of beneficiaries. But it's a matter that the committee that is there, working with the leadership of the district and municipality, including ourselves and Amakos, were handling those instances where certain people that had registered on behalf of that family might have passed on or might have moved away. It might look like a small remaining number, but because of some of those matters of management of who's really the right person, might take us a little bit of time, but we'll push, we promise. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Honorable members, I can see that there's no any other hands. I'm now going to request the, as we release and thank the department for availing themselves for the presentation, release as we release them and invite the content advisor to present the first quarter report. Sherin, we don't have much time. If you can
Chairperson,
Honorable Mokhotu,
can I make one follow-up question, please?
Okay, you're welcome, Honorable Mokhotu.
Thank you. Emfuleni municipalities has over the years not adhered to compliance issues. Did the Department of Water and Sanitation issue a directive against the municipality? And will Emfuleni be taken to court for non-compliance? Why is the silence by the Department of Water and Sanitation officials and the department not providing more details on this matter? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mokhotu. DM,
Your Excellency, Chairperson, and thanks to Honorable Mokhotu. We have indicated that, Honorable Mokhotu, we are going to request through the Chairperson, because of the developments happening at Mfuleni, that we come when we have wrapped up some of the things the minister is doing right now, and we come for a detailed presentation to say, since we came into Mfuleni, how much progress have we made, what are the challenges, and what are our plans going forward. We would require that you allow us to do that, but just to be on record, we continue at Mfuleni, and in other areas, we are providing support as required by law in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, but equally, we continue to do our regulatory function as required by law. We'll be able to share when we did Mfuleni in totality, that what have we done in terms of dealing with their issues of pollution from a compliance point of view, but also from a support point of view. I want to thank you, Chair.
Thank you, dear. Honorable Mokhotu, that is the response on Mfuleni. You would remember that Mfuleni isn't one of the municipalities that has been put on Section 139. So we will wait for the department to come back on to give us the report on the entire ground, because it's not in Mfuleni only. You have the Harp, Subanda municipality, the others in Free State and Johannesburg,
including Northern Cape.
Yes, those that are polluting Val, it's not in Mfuleni only. So we as we started the DG has requested that there is engagement that is happening, and the minister requested that this matter of Val be deferred so that we can come back to us with the
action plan which responds even to issues that were raised by a Human Rights Commission. Let's leave it at that, honorable members. Can we then?
Leaving chair.
Yes, you are please DM and your team.
Thank you, chair.
Thank you, Sherry. Looking at the time, please just do your best and in presenting the report and get members to adopt the report. So we don't have much time. Others, they are traveling to the city. Let's proceed.
Hey, person, the report is on the screen. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, chair, members, and colleagues. The Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation considered the expenditure report on the 30th of October 2020. And overall, the expenditure for the 2020-21 period was 17.2 billion. However, an amount of 257 million was suspended due to COVID, and the final amount was 16.9. For the first quarter, the department spent 1.76 billion from the adjusted appropriation of 16.9. I'm not going to spend too much on the targets because now that we have moved into the second and third quarter, what I find is that the information on the first quarter is now retrospective. So I'm just going to highlight the observations and the recommendations. If that's fine.
Fine, but
okay. With regard?
There's not responded, Jerry. Members, is it fine? Because last time they when we wanted to do that, Jerry. Just talk to issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to highlight some of the targets that were not achieved. The main account, with regard to the economic classification, the under expenditure was on compensation of employees due to vacant posts within the department across all programs, and the filling and advertising of posts were stopped during that period due to COVID. On goods and services, this is the main account. The department spent 219 million of the total approved drawings planned expenditure of 374. And this was because of the extended lockdown. On transfers and subsidies, the total expenditure amounted to 1 billion, representing 11% of the adjusted real allocation of 8.9 billion. On payments for capital assets, the department spent 1.4 million of the projected 1.3 billion, resulting in underspending of 1.2 billion. This is due to the commitments that are still to be billed during lockdown, such as invoices pending certification, verification, and approval for payment of work done indirect, DORA Schedule 6B, regional bulk infrastructure, and water services infrastructure grant. On the water trading entity, the expenditure was that one of the challenges that was highlighted quite clearly, even with the second and third quarter, was that the revenue collection within the water trading entity remains a challenge, although interventions to improve debt management through improved debt management processes, specifically within units at provincial level, had been initiated. The water trading entity projected to spend $1.3 billion on compensation of employees for the 2021 financial year, and to date has spent an amount of $254 million. Goods and services, a spending of $181 million against a budget of $688 million. That was also related to COVID-19. With regard to the targets in administration, with regard to the financial management in the main account, the projected target was 45 for the percentage implementation of the financial recovery and turnaround strategy. 37% was achieved, and that reflects an underachievement of 8%. The reasons being, it's highlighted in that paragraph. On the financial management within the water trading entity, the projected number of debtors days was reflected as 122 days, but attainment was at 207 days, reflecting 87 days over the projected target. This is mainly due to accumulated debt and collection period exacerbated by COVID-19 conditions. Okay, and as they mentioned in the second and third quarter feedback and responses, the interministerial task team is working on this issue. On international water support, there was an underperformance of 12%. And in the department's presentation for the first quarter, they highlighted that some engagements were not possible and there could be a possible request for revision of targets. And I think we need to look out for the revision of targets and how it's going to be applied in the annual, if there is a revised annual performance plan. We need to highlight that as well. Corporate services, there was a 0%, but there were no reasons supplied in the presentation. For Program 2, Water Planning and Information Management, an amount of $894 million of the $16.9 billion total adjusted appropriation for the 2021 financial year. Expenditure for the quarter was $894 million. The actual expenditure was $126 million. So the plan, the projected expenditure for the program was $894, but the actual expenditure spent for the first quarter was $126 million. This amounts to a $767 million variance and a spend of 14%. Okay, overall the targets achieved in this program relate to the updating of the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan, drafting of the report for water resources, classes, etc. The target partially achieved on water information management, it was a projected 85% target, but 83% was achieved. On water services and local water management, there was another request to adjust the APP targets is being considered with regard to the feasibility studies. 8 were highlighted in the APP, but none were completed. Then targets not achieved in policy and strategy. It was the National Water and Sanitation Bill and the public consultation on the National Water Resources Strategy Edition. Number 3 is still awaiting public consultation. Program 3.
Are you going to be able to put the minutes?
Sorry?
Okay.
Program 3, the water infrastructure development. I think this was the program that was impacted largely by COVID because it's a construction program and related to the 8 megawatt. And then the under water program 3 water infrastructure development, The target not achieved was in the strategic infrastructure development and management. On the partially achieved strategic infrastructure development and management, regional bulk infrastructure grants due to COVID-19, and the water services infrastructure grant due to the COVID-19 lockdown. And as I said earlier, the program 3 was impacted largely due to COVID. The water sector regulation, there was allocated an amount of 338 million of the 16.9 billion, and their projected expenditure for the quarter was 91 million, and the actual expenditure was 62 million. It amounts to a 28 million variance, and the targets that were achieved are highlighted in the paragraph. The targets that were not achieved, like compliance, monitoring and enforcement on water supply services and sanitation regulation, on water use authorization and administration. 4, I'll come to the observations and recommendations. Members of the portfolio committee derived the following observations and related recommendations. Concerns raised on financial spend against targets attained for the year under review, that whilst the department is addressing challenges associated with attainment of targets aligned to expenditure spend, which for the quarter under review translated to a 10.3% of the main appropriation at the end of this quarter, against a projected expenditure of 20.3%, against a 38% target achievement for the first quarter. The portfolio committee recommended that the internal audit unit should monitor this progress and provide progress reports on a quarterly basis on its ability to mitigate risks in the course of analyzing financial and non-financial performance of the department. Furthermore, request was made that the internal unit provide its detailed analysis of the performance of the department for the quarter under review. Eradication of the bucket system in formal settlements. The portfolio committee noted the shift in numbers with regard to the bucket eradication program, but was concerned at the delay in completion of the remaining eradication of buckets in the Free State. Of concern to the committee was escalating costs of the program due to delays associated with procurement and site testing. The minister has, however, committed that the HDA under the Department of Human Settlements would assist this program by ensuring reticulation support related to the bucket eradication program is provided to fast-track the remaining bucket eradication in the country. The portfolio committee resolved that a non-negotiable time frame with a ring-fence budget for the program should be prioritized. Challenges related to the performance aspects of Program 3, although the lockdown attributed to COVID-19 virus exacerbated the slow progress of performance aspects on Program 3 water infrastructure development, members of the portfolio committee maintained that it was important for the department to monitor the ongoing contractual disputes, lapsing of contracts which impacted on progress of projects, and delays in the commencement of construction activities need to be seriously addressed. This related specifically to delays in the Vaal Dam, Umzimkhulu Dam, as well as other major wastewater and water projects such as Amatole and Crocodile wastewater supply systems. The portfolio committee resolved that there was a need by the department to provide timeframes of the recovery plan to facilitate progress on incomplete projects within Program 3, water infrastructure development, as well as those projects impacted on by factors associated with the lockdown due to COVID-19. Filling of vacancies in the department. Members of the portfolio committee raised a number of concerns in the high vacancy rate. And the department agreed with the concerns of members and noted that an e-recruitment process was in place. The portfolio committee resolved that a progress report and filling of vacancies be provided at the end of the financial year. verification and validation of existing lawful use. The purpose of the verification validation is to verify all existing lawful use. Members of the portfolio committee raised concern of the discrepancies of the validation and verification process in relation to the skewed allocation of water use. Members maintain that this must be continuously monitored as equity and efficiency challenges within the water use authorizations for acquiring water licenses by small impact users, mainly black farmers, is notably impacted. The department should fast track the verification and validation of existing local water use in all water management areas in order to ensure a speedy water allocation refit to address water needs of the historically excluded and vulnerable groups. The department should provide quarterly progress reports on water allocation reports across all water management areas. Report to be considered. Thank you so much, members.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much. Honorable members, that was the report. And we get members to interact with the report. Members.
Like we are fine, Chair.
Okay, what fine means? For the purpose of recording, members must register their views on the report, because if you're quiet, it will affect the recording for the purposes of recording and resolution. There must be the mover for the adoption. There are no issues to raise on the report, and then we adopt the report.
Okay.
Yes,
thanks, Chair. Let me appreciate the drafters of the report, our support staff, Chair, and your good staff. And I move for the adoption of this report,
thank you, Honorable Sege. Honorable Makoto?
EFF is abstaining.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Makoto, can I get the seconder of the report? Maybe just to Sherin that on the some of this resolution, if you can have when we have the filling of the post by end of financial year is too long, we should then be able to say that we get the progress on quarterly basis, on the progress, so that we are able to follow up on the results. Can I get the seconder of the report?
I second from Honorable Chair.
Honorable Sopasumo has seconded. And Honorable Shirley is abstaining. Thank you very much. Can we then put the minutes of the same interaction, Biogazu? Biogazi. You guys, we just see your screen of the laptop. We can't see what you... Yogazi?
Kuliswa?
Kuliswa, are you able to help Yogazi to put the minute one that will deliver the... with the first quarter report.
Hello, Chair. I don't think I have the latest, but let me try and put the one that I can see here.
It says, Ms. Honorable Powell, Sherry,
if you don't have the one that has been edited by Sherin. Is it the one that, Sherin, is it the one that you have edited?
No, it's not the one that I edited.
Okay, you have the copy. Put the copy of the your edited minutes.
Chairperson, may I make a proposal that we move this item to Friday, given that there's 8 minutes of committee left?
Yeah.
No. Let's finalize it, Honourable Powell. Let's finalize it.
Chairperson, members have to get to Parliament like last week when we had to end the meeting at 12:30.
Okay, let me get, do we agree that we adjourn the meeting, honorable members,
My proposal is not that we adjourn the meeting. We still have matters arising, which I've waited for, but my proposal is that we...
But that is the thing that we are not going to allow, honorable Powell. You want us to postpone others and then bring your issues.
Only because...
We're not going to allow that, honorable Powell.
Can't find the minutes, Chairperson. Yes.
Chairperson. Yes.
Can we call member Chairperson? We can't just postpone for the sake of postponing. Maybe Chair, you can assess and advise. But now I was thinking that let's continue. We normally go up to Omar 20:15.
That's fine. I second Honourable Teki's proposal in that case, Honourable Semenya.
We can't postpone for the sake of postponing, Member Powell.
Yes, because we cannot say, let's postpone this item and talk about my issue. We're not going to do that.
Sorry, that's what's delaying us. We don't have the minutes in front of us, Chairperson. My proposal was pragmatic, not political.
Honorable Powell, there are the minutes, honorable members, let's take one.
Listen, I haven't cited this one.
Who has done that?
I'm not too sure.
Yogaz, is it you?
Those are the minutes I've got, edited minutes I have.
Okay, thank you, Yogaz. Sharon is the one that you have got edited. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. page 5. Page 6. Can I get the any issue on the minutes, honorable members, or we can then move for the adoption of the minutes? Can I see the, can we get the mover for the adoption of the minutes if there is no in?
Move, Chairperson.
Honorable the key move. Can we get the seconder? The key seconder. Thank you very much, honorable members. The minutes has been duly adopted. Can we then go to the last item, which is the matters arising, I don't know, of raised by Honorable Powers?
Thanks, Chairperson. I just have a number of questions, three questions specifically for you, Chairperson. Just in terms of administratively how we should proceed, at the beginning of a normal committee meeting, we approve an agenda for the meeting. And then at the beginning of a term, we usually approve a term program. Unfortunately, at the beginning of this term, the committee was not, the term program was not put to the committee for approval. So we weren't able to, as members, make our contributions and our inputs like in many other committees. So we've been progressing on a program that wasn't approved by this committee.
It's not true, honorable member.
Okay, Chairperson, can I conclude my questions or would you like to respond on that now?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's not true because I'm not sure what the program was presented to members. You must check with other members.
So the program was emailed to us and it's changed three times since it was first circulated, but that's besides the point. We haven't had an opportunity as committee members to make in a committee our inputs and suggestions for critical items. And because of the crisis that we are in nationally, there are a number of very, very serious issues. So we haven't had a committee discussion about the program. And as a result of that, I've sent you five emails, two on the 12th of February, two on the 16th of February, one on the 8th of March. And Chairperson, I'd like to ask, just in the interest of parliamentary cordiality, am I sending my emails to the wrong email address, maybe? My emails are not even acknowledged by a secretary, let alone responded to. So I just want to try and find out how I can move for getting an acknowledgement to my correspondence to your office as the chairperson of this committee, or if it needs to be escalated elsewhere. Then how you as the chairperson would like us as members of the committee to make our representations to the committee in terms of requests for items to be added to the agenda. And then thirdly, Chairperson, on Tuesday last week, we were told that the annual report meeting with the HDA would happen by Friday. I understand that we're waiting on a response from the Honourable Minister's office, but we as a committee have the power to summon the minister. So we as a parliamentary committee should not be held up by the ministers availability. Can we please get a date from you on that meeting that was supposed to have already concluded by Sunday? Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me start with the program. Honorable Powell, the program of the committee was presented in the portfolio committee. Even when we added a change, I remember when we came back to the committee, we came to requesting that the department has requested us to change the item on the Property Management Act and then replace it with the HDA annual report. It was brought to the committee. You might not have been in the meeting, but the program, as usual, was brought to the committee. There's never been any program that was implemented by this committee which was not actually brought to the committee for the adoption. And if there are amendments, too, we do the same, that we bring it to the committee. And I remember when we're dealing with the HDA report, annual report, after the department requested to us to interact with the report and refer the property management act, it was brought to the committee. I'm not sure which one you are talking about. You might not have been in the meeting, honorable member. I don't know.
Chair, we're battling to hear you. I think it sounds like you're covering your device. We're battling to hear.
No, I'm not covering. Probably
okay, can hear
right,
that yeah. enough.
But I'm saying that the program was brought to the committee and it was interacted by the members. Even when we brought the changes, it was members, the program was brought to the committee and members agreed on that one. The second issue on the HDA annual report, honorable member, it was these members of the committee that you needed availability of ministry, because in our, my view is that ministry, you have only two, the minister and the deputy minister, and both of them, the minister was on sick leave, DM Chwete was representing the minister in cabinet, they were not there, as we have requested parliament to approve the slot for us to have the meeting. But nonetheless, we are putting at application through the secretary, which the meeting would be after sitting either on Wednesday or Thursday. It will depend on the date that we finish earlier. I've never said the meeting will be on Friday. We said we would make sure that the meeting we should have the meeting at least by Friday. Unfortunately, the minister was on sick leave and the DM was not there. And we have interacted with the department. The ministry will be represented in the meeting that we would have whether on Wednesday or Thursday, Honorable Powell. So the issue that the program has never been coming to the committee is not the true reflection of the issues, Honorable Powell. And the matter of HDA annual report is receiving attention. We couldn't, members who needed the ministry in as part of the meeting, and we didn't have one, that's why the meeting could not sit. And the issue that you cannot hold by the minister hostage, your own view, it cannot be the whole view of the committee. And we look at the apology and agree whether apology is acceptable or not. So if we don't just dismiss the apology, honorable member. So So that is the issue, Honorable. Probably has responded on the issue. The email. Can I finish? On the emails that you have sent it to me, I've acknowledged the email that you have sent it to me on the first email that you have sent it to me. I've acknowledged.
No, Chairperson, there's been no acknowledgement. Can you confirm the email?
So I've done that. I don't know what. Can I finish?
You're saying you've acknowledged it, Chairperson. I'm saying I haven't received acknowledgement, so can you provide a copy of that acknowledgement, please?
I'll do that if I have but I won't do it now, but I remember I've done that on the first email. I've acknowledged the receipt of your email. So the second email, Honorable Powell, you sent them yesterday. I don't think you expected me to respond to those emails yesterday. I received them yesterday, and I'm not. I was traveling yesterday. I've seen them yesterday. So you cannot say you sent them. I've not responded to you. And just today, I'm in a meeting. You can see me. I'm in a meeting.
Mm. So there's five emails in total, Chairperson, since 2003, and I have not received an acknowledgement.
So I'm going to
Chairperson, I think you should. Member Powell, if Member Powell wants to have a meeting with you, let's close this one, and then she can have a meeting with you, because she wants to make this meeting yours and hers now.
But Chairperson, you haven't answered the question. About how members can ask for items to be put onto the program and the agenda.
Honorable Powell, the program is presented to members and got discussed and then be adopted.
This committee this term. It was emailed to us and changes were made that were agreed to. It was never presented to us for formal adoption.
It was the program, Honorable Powell, is done a quarter before we closed the quarter. It was done
and
even the next quarter would be discussed before this end of the quarter. Honorable Powell, it has never be in that.
Arguing this point, Chairperson, can you answer my question? If committee members want to add items and want to put those items to the committee members to agree to add to the program, can you please advise me of the process to follow in suggesting such matters? That's the question you're asking, Chair.
You can do it through the Secretary of Parliament, the Secretariat, the Secretary of Committee, yes.
So send a request to Khaliswa, and then can we get a time frame that you'll give us a response?
Honorable
Powell, you like
to propose the closure. Okay. We can't discuss
Honorable Powell, I'm giving you an
answer. We are supposed to close the meeting.
Honorable members, can I finish? Honorable Powell, I'm giving you a response. Send your request to Khaliswa, and then it will come. It will go to management, and from management it will come to the committee. If it doesn't come, you can raise it in the meeting when we deal with the program. There is an opportunity when we interacted with the program. Members are allowed to adopt the program. And Honorable Powell, when you are not in the meeting, you must know that. We are not suspending other agenda. We proceed. We are not waiting for you.
I've been in every single meeting this term.
Honorable Powell, without you, the committee is going to continue as normal. With or without you.
I completely agree with that.
Thank you very much, members.